Plague Kids. Time to slip through to something new. Now, being heard from the heart of Utah, it's your brothers from other mothers, Tim and Kelly.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, we're live. What's going on?
Wait, check it out.
There you are.
Bing.
It's on.
Yep, it's amazing what a little switch will do. It's kind of like those switches in your head.
Look at this whole setup, man. We got this whole thing going together. We're definitely not techies.
Do whatever. We're masters already at this.
I love it.
All these wires. Yeah, you're right. We only have about 7, 8, 10 wires. We're dealing with a lot more of that than the brain. We had no brains.
Yeah, we have no idea where it all come from. I love this.
How's everybody doing out there? So I'm sitting here. My name's Kelly. Across from me is my brother Tim. We are, in fact, illegitimate
plague kids.
Well, we're legitimate plague kids, which makes us illegitimate. In fact, we are the bastards of the planet. God bless our souls. So Tim and I, we are brothers. In fact, from other mothers, we come from the same pop, and we're about 6 months apart.
We're very tail end of the family.
That's right.
We come from a very low
end of the family.
Low end of the family. It tapered off at the end. In the middle and the beginning, it was a lot of kids all happening at the same time. So right up above us, we had 5 brothers all born in 1 year.
Wow. Exactly to the date, too, because it's funny because it was just the other day we celebrated the birthday of 2 of them, which is the beginning and the end of the 5.
That's kind of a remarkable little story. First brother born on a day and the last brother born on the same day. 1 year later. 5 brothers, 1 year. We have a lot of other remarkable things that happen. All sorts of things happen in a polygamous family that you could not imagine.
Yeah, so
we're going to teach you how to imagine.
We'll teach you how to imagine it all. Yeah, we want to kind of go over some of it. So we're just chatting. This is going to be our first episode. We've been practicing for about a year now, trying to get this thing off and going.
That's right. We've had a great time. So we've sat in front of cameras and in front of with a green screen behind us and done the whole 9 yards. We've had a great time learning who we are.
Trying to figure all this out. So a year ago, I approached Kelly because I had this great idea that we could do a podcast to help people, I guess, plague kids with this victim mentality or this, this less than mentality of being a plague kid, I guess. So we went out, had a beer. I told you my idea, and somehow together we made it happen. Kelly met a guy who had a recording studio and kind of just went from there. That was a year ago, but we didn't realize about a year ago that it was going to take a year to get off the ground.
That's kind of amazing, man, honestly. Look at what we've come through. So we've been diving into some of our own belief structures through this whole year, and we've come across some interesting observations about ourselves. So last year, about this time, I'm 39 years old, and life's throwing me life stuff. So Tim approaches me, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd love to step in front of a mic and give my 2 cents about stuff. And then when I stepped back, I thought about that and what that really meant, like really being the man that's sitting here right now doing this, and what is it that I'm putting out there, and who am I, what am I willing to say, mm-hmm. Who am I willing to be, and how much am I willing to reveal? Like, this is a state of, and I'm going to call it something that you wouldn't have imagined, just bliss, dude. I love it right here.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. So we started sitting down. It's okay, let's do this. Let's start recording. And we sounded like a bunch of whiny bitches when we first started recording. Pardon my language, but it was just like, I guess a lot of stuff we never even talked about, or a lot of not resolved or regulated, whichever.
Well, that's right, because we wanted to sit down and we wanted to come into this because we had a lot of good stuff, and we're like, hey, we had a lot of fun at the times when we were little, and let's present that to the world. We're not victims in all of this. We want to be, this is who we want to present ourselves. We had some good times. Let's remember the good times. Let's talk about that because they were fun, funny, all sorts of everything in between.
Exactly. Kind of going more about the resiliency that we have as being plague kids, or the values and beliefs that we have that are positive and mm-hmm. not being this huge. And I think a lot of times it's just this general umbrella of, like, this is what we are. This is how we believe. But I think a lot of it's just self-perceived bullshit, because it's a lot of...
That's right. It's a lot of storytelling. And it seems like the more people that tell the story, then everybody's agreeing. So, yeah, the story must fit. But once it's kind of shift that story around a little bit, step outside of it, get to observe it from an angle.
Wow. it's a little different of a story. Yeah, because even so, we're sitting at a coffee shop, kind of halfway through this, and I'm talking to Kelly about the word polygamy, like polygamist. He couldn't say the word polygamist at the coffee shop because he didn't want anybody in earshot to hear.
We're in a coffee shop, and it's like, yeah, we're out on the back deck. You know, it's a little bit more open, and we got a few tables sitting around us, and there's maybe, I don't know, half a dozen people, you know, various tables sitting around, and so it's not like they're all within hearing distance, and yet if they were to really think about it and sit down and listen to us, they could probably hear us. And that little bit of a tidbit just threw me off, like, Tim, I don't want to say polygamist.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Let's pick a different word, man. Polygamist just rubs me wrong.
It's so true. That word alone is within ourselves. I'm sure, you know, I think we perceive that other people might think it to us, but in ourselves, just saying that I come from a polygamist family, I'm therefore saying I'm less than, I'm dumb, I'm lazy, you know, or I'm poor, whatever it is. Like, there's all these little, it's our own personal beliefs with it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like someone put that onto us, but to say that, I just admitted to all these wrongful things.
And not only that, it's not just our own beliefs, but what beliefs that we think other people have about those words. Yeah. Like, if I say the word polygamist, what comes up in your own head? And then how am I, again, reacting to what I think you think?
Right. Yeah. And once again, it's all self-perceived. They must not like me because I said I'm a polygy. But yeah, they keep giving me work and they keep calling. That's weird. You know, so it's definitely, for me, and it kind of kept me in that victim mentality as well because, you know, I think a lot of times it's easy to stay in the victim mentality when you have that upbringing where, I mean, I just noticed being 38, like being frozen in life, holding on to grudges, different things, feeling that feeling of powerlessness.
Sure.
Staying in that victim mentality, but I'd always have I could break it down where it'd be, if this person did it to me or if there's a situation or anything, but anyway, if I had to, I could break it all the way down to go, you know what, it was because I came from this family of polygamy. That's why it all happened to me. So I'd always figure out a way to be the victim, even if I had to go to that situation.
That's really interesting. And for myself, I would have never chosen the word victim. I would never have called myself a victim. Mm-hmm. And yet in all of my head stories and all of my stuff that I would rattle on day after day after day after year, I was, in fact, I fit the category of victim. But to me, that was like, no, dude, I'm not a victim. But man, if this person growing up hadn't done this, and then I would be thinking this way, and I would start blaming the people in my head. Mm-hmm. These would be the conversations going on in my head. And then finally, I get to the point where I think I'm overcoming all this stuff, and I start feeling like, oh my God, I'm in a loving state. I'm feeling better on this. And so now it's only like 80% of the day that's like, F them and F this. I got a little bit of 20% love. Yeah. What's going on? I'm feeling better.
Yeah, but I think that's where we're at today with consistency today, where it actually feels good every day, kind of overcoming it and learning to regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Before it would take up so much time of the day. Like you would have to work so hard to create that victim house, I guess, would be whatever you had to do. I got to keep this victimhood. So,
and it's often that it shows up as houses too. I wouldn't be in this house, in this house, if this and this and this.
Totally, yeah.
I'm here because of them or mm-hmm. him or her.
Yeah, not taking responsibility for our life because it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. They would have done something different. If my parents would have done something different, which also being a victim and had trouble being like assertive in life. I noticed that's what kind of hit us 38 years old. It's like, holy cow, I've kind of created the exact same pattern for like my whole life, basically since I was like 13, 14 years old. This pattern just gets repeat.
Like in a loop?
In a loop. Like a story loop, loop. Okay, I'm 38 years old. Like, why am I not able to manage life in the way that I should be managing life? And why does it just keep continuing in the same path? So that's where I hit my wall of like, I got to kind of dive into this, figure out, break the pattern somehow, some way. I didn't know it was going to go the way it went because I thought, well, let's just start talking about other people's.
Wait a minute, you can't predict the future?
I can't predict the future, man. In my wisdom, I thought, Kelly, let's sit down and talk about other people's problems.
And we'll laugh.
And we'll laugh because, you know, that we know what everybody else was wrong with everybody else. But it was funny when we got halfway through, I'm like, dude, Kelly, I think I was a little bit screwed up from my childhood or a little bit screwed up from growing up as a polygamy.
Yeah, I look at you like, come on, man, come on.
Complete denial. Maybe I'm not the only one, or maybe everybody else.
It's all them, bro. I don't think so, man. Yeah, you look great. I mean, look at that smile. Nobody smiles like that.
That's what it. So we took the last one.
I didn't believe him.
Yeah. What is it? Like, taking acceptance of it is like, finally, you could take the first step to do something about it.
I'll be honest. I could, like, part of me was willing to admit it, but most of me was like, oh, look at this, but I don't know. I got my shades on, you know, my shades are hiding most of it. I'll see a little bit, I guess. And so when I finally like, oh, cool. And then with a little bit of the NLP skills, we're just like, let's peel that first layer of the onion off. And
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what did we reveal?
taking.
Oh, it was another layer.
Taking the layers. Yeah, that's nice. To, I mean, that's first step taking responsibility too. Is to start peeling those away.
Well, what I found when peeling that first layer, and it wasn't even peeling, it was like taking that first layer off and then taking, like, holding it in your hand and going, what is this? What mm-hmm. is this layer? And I found all of my thoughts have been rolling around in my head. It's amazing what a thought,
mm-hmm.
you think they're just thoughts. It's amazing what a thought will motivate you to do.
Oh, yeah.
And how it will make a habit out of your life in one little particular area.
Uh-huh.
You'll scratch a part of your body, part of your head. You'll just minute little habits
mm-hmm.
that a thought will make you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all thoughts, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, even a thought turns into a belief, and then it's a belief.
Instantly.
That quick. And now all of a sudden, I believe that if I hear the word polygamy, I'm dumb. Oh, that's me. Cringing at it all.
Tim, we're not going to say polygamy. Let's change this up. Let's call it plig kid.
Plig kid.
I can say plig kid.
Yeah, definitely. We're plig kids. It's a different. It's a whole different thing.
We both only have one wife. Imagine that.
Very resilient. Yeah, so going through it. Going through my path, like, that was fun to go start digging everything up and realizing there's a lot more things I need to deal with. I think a lot of it, dude, just comes down to, like, regulating ourselves. Not holding on to all this stuff. Like even to be a victim, you have to hold on to a lot of stuff. You have to almost have to, like, keep a filing cabinet of the wrongs that people have done to you, just in case you need to pull it out to create the victim mentality. Like, well, I remember way back when I was, like, 19, this happened, and that's why... Like this huge fight, like it's just this big load off my chest. Like, okay, and I'm no longer the victim, letting all this stuff go, and I can just take responsibility for my life. And I mean, taking responsibility for my life kind of gives my life a little bit more meaning.
Interesting how that happened, huh?
And not trying to search for all these, how am I the victim? Even working on forgiveness, you must forgive your mother and father. You must forgive. Like, okay, well, how do I forgive and still maintain being the victim?
Yeah, forgiveness seemed like a lifelong commitment to me, and I didn't like the sound of that. Like, forgive them? You mean the next time they show up, I got to be like, oh, smiles, and I don't feel it.
You're like, I'll forgive them if they
change. Oh, there
change.
You go. Yeah, I'll forgive them. If they'll come over here and they'll apologize to me and they'll say this and do this and then whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I just noticed this, like, the last couple of years of my life. Like, taking on myself, like, just focusing on myself. Like you say, like, taking the layers off. Like
mm-hmm.
taking the onion layers off. It seems like every time a layer comes off, it gets easier to go to the next layer, easier to go to the next layer. Then you start looking forward to the next layer. It's like, this is a lot of fun, because every time I do
When you start getting to the point where you're looking forward to the next layer, that's where it becomes interesting. And even, like, you have this persistent energy, I would say, even it's like a positive energy that starts moving through your mind and working towards it. Because when you're happy and excited about something, what does that do to your questioning in your mind?
100%.
It's amazing.
Always moving forward. That's the biggest thing. Like, and that's like the victim stays in the, they just stay stuck. I was always just stuck. But that moving forward, like, it's exciting because every day is something new and it's just exciting. And
never trusting. I always go back to that point of, like, I'm moving forward and doing my life. I would tell myself this, and then this is before
mm-hmm.
stepping back and rerunning this program and fixing the problems that were happening. I had this big thing where I didn't trust anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another.
Anybody. I mean, I cared about people. But when they would step into my life, then I would have my own wall barrier where I would be like, okay, we're skirting this, we're doing this. And it was like this whole controlled situation of interaction rather than this authentic,
mm-hmm.
hey, you're a human being, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
We have a connection.
We all struggle. That's one thing that connects all of us as human beings, is that we all struggle. Every single one of us, plig kid or not, we all struggle.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, staying in the victim mentality, that's where you get into the staying stuck, being a critic. Holding on to grudges. Kind of like this is kind of like our life story right here.
All the way oh up my there. Gosh, man. The launching pad for me at 39 years old last year, when you came up to me and when you worked some NLP on me, man, and it's like I'm standing in front of this little bit of a cliff, I guess, you know, small, but down at the bottom there's like spikes sticking straight up. And I had convinced myself through all of my, well, I'm not a victim, but I am, that I'm like, all right, only thing left for me to do is just fall forward on these spikes and feel all the pain that's there waiting for me. And Tim's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We got some other options here. No, we don't. No. I'm committed to here. This is the only thing that can happen. So, cool, dude. We've got other options.
Yeah.
Check this out. And the whole flip that suddenly happened.
It was so cool. And you don't need that bed of thrones. What a bed of thorns. The bed of thorns.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And it's just so funny because that's like, we take off like we take off from pain. That was like our biggest motivator in life as plig kids. Like, there's enough pain that would move us forward. But then as we're moving forward, we have to go still find pain somehow. Everything has to be a pain.
We don't know how to move forward without pain. And when the pain goes away, That's something that most people will face.
Yeah.
How do we move forward now? Because we don't have our motivator.
Well, yeah. And then we can't go toward pleasure because that's a sin. That makes us feel guilty because now we're doing something that makes us feel good.
Oh,
makes us
dear
happy.
Lord.
Oh, no, don't do that.
These are all, some of this is stuff that we've created and gathered along the way of our lives. Some of this is stuff that was given to us as kids, like in the whole scheme of our upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Can't be happy.
Cult mentality.
Get back to that level of pain that you have to have. It's always creating that, but it's fun to get rid of all that and really just focus on the future as a pleasurable thing, especially now that we're like 40 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was good going through the past life, I guess I call it.
It feels like a past life because it's amazing when your past gets resolved and you've let it all go. It's all still there in a sense of the value that it brings
because
there's tons and tons and tons of value.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. And it's all memories. It's all kind of self-perceived, too, because I know one of the biggest things that we struggle with as kids is rejection. That thing's like it's our kryptonite. Someone rejects us. Holy cow, watch out. That can come out in many different ways.
Oh, yeah. Rejection will happen in the sense of, I've convinced myself, I've done this, I've convinced myself that I no longer am susceptible to the feelings of rejection. And I'll step in front of somebody and I'll have those feelings come up. Like, oh, only I will then, because I've already made that little small commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It all just kind of happens subconsciously. So I'm still feeling, I'll go like 3 days of feeling this agitation before I'm finally willing to admit what the hell happened. I'm so pissed at them. And so then finally I'm willing to say I'm pissed about it.
Yeah, that's what rejection does for us. It brings back all of this old pain and stuff from it's so over the top, you know, like you go to the coffee shop, like I'll take a bagel. Oh, we just ran out. That's rejection for a plick kid. You know, like it boils up all this other shit.
Wow.
The rest of the day is shitty because they ran out of bagels. They rejected you, your bagel.
Dude, this is such a talent. Like, we've created the ability to feel rejection because rejection is required. It's a required statement to feel guilt, shame, and all the other negative feelings in a cult mentality. And so we've developed the ability to feel it anywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
You're a master at this.
Oh, yeah. We it's a pattern. It's our belief. Like, we have to create that pattern to fulfill the belief that we have, that we have to be in victimhood with all that bullshit stuff. But, so today, finally getting to this today where we're at. Here it is a year later. We're ready to launch this thing. I feel way different than I was a year ago. So much more at peace. So I have a great new perspective of life. Actually really excited to move forward on all of this and have some great, great ideas. We have some people lined up that want to be guests on this, kind of just to share their insights and understandings about polygamy, being a polygamy kid, the resiliency, and just a different lifestyle, and kind of how it's affected them in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Not living it, kind of how we are. We have one wife. We don't live it by all means yet. It still rings in our head.
Yeah. So we've stepped out. So we no longer abide by the rules. We don't, you know, we're not associated with it anymore. We still have friends and family because it's basically it's a huge family group, if you will, they come from this whole polygonometry thing. And in fact, stepping in there, we're probably related to 3/4 of the people that we came from. I'm definitely related to more than you.
Jezebel and Allred, brother. You're like really everybody.
Yeah, that's very true.
No. We may be brothers, but yeah, we'll have to get in the
pool. We've been cross cults. It's like, yeah, we're not just related to this polygamous group. You're related to this one and this one and this one. How much so? All the way.
Yeah. And, you know, and even to call it, like, I think everybody has their own perspective of it too. Like even, you know, I know we call it a cult, but that's kind of our perspective in a way, just because we see how a lot of things affected a lot of us exactly the same. So it's kind of I think that's kind of where I look at it as a cultish, is where they try to get the whole group to think the same and you don't have the authority in your life. Someone else has the authority in your life and you have to ask them if you can do anything you want. So that's kind of where I look at it as a cultish way of
definitely. And cults in the sense, like, there's a lot of good that happened there, and that's even why we restarted this whole thing, because there's a lot of good and there's a lot of good that happened throughout the world and in various cults, and it's amazing what fits the category of cults.
Yeah.
If you look up what the definition of a cult is, there's so many things that fit that category. And like Tim's talking about, it's like you're stuck in this and you're not really allowed to think for yourself on a lot of levels. And so if you get to the point where sometimes you need to tell the leader how to lead you, but you can't.
No, you know, he knows.
It's like, in order to have your own thoughts and your own ability to be responsible, you have to go through a loop rather than just tell yourself to be responsible.
Well,
you have to go get permission. You have to.
And it creates a conflict because you want to do what you want to do because you're a human being and you want to live the life you want to live. But it's conflicting because of the authority that's not yours is telling you that you need to live this life. So even though you leave and go live your own life, you still have this internal conflict going inside, like, am I doing the right thing? Or is this, am I totally going against everything? And you know, your mom sometimes loves you, but then doesn't, because everybody involved has the same conflict.
That's
right. Because you made just because of a decision that you made, and there's all this guilt and everything onto it. Instead of just having that peaceful, like, hey, I'm the locus of authority in my own life. I can make this decision. I'm not hurting anybody. In fact, I'm becoming a better person because of it. I'm growing as a person because mm-hmm. of it. And this is a beautiful thing. I can help other people.
It's like taking the blame out of this. And each level has its own, you know, there's no blame on the parents because the parents went through their own stuff. There's no blame on their parents because their parents went through some of the same stuff. It's mm-hmm. like this growth factor that happens. And eventually we get to the point where we realize it's up to us to create who we are.
Exactly.
And which we've been doing all along.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to sum it all up, it's kind of like we've taken upon ourselves to change ourselves and got away from, if the environment around me changes, then I would be happy. If I change, I can be happy, because it's these patterns that are in my head that are creating my pain, not these other people that are.
That's right.
You know, and it's funny, going through this last year, it's even funny when we had like fears of different people, and we had to like break it down, like, what are they really going to say? Like, what is really going to happen? It's their voices in our heads.
That's exactly what it is. We've created the voices that, oh yeah, it's so crazy the way that happens. Then they will show up in the way we've created them. It's all secondary and third levels of creation, but no more of that. In the sense of polygamy, though, when someone's leading you wrong and you can't think for yourself, we're the only ones who are able to judge our core feelings. I mean, if we're feeling mm-hmm. good, we're feeling good. And that's mm-hmm. like one of the basis you got to do. Everything that you feel good about,
mm-hmm.
that's how people in life move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toward pleasure.
Towards pleasure.
Away from pain. Toward pleasure.
when you have a lot, when you're locked down and you can't, you're not allowed to make those decisions for yourself.
You know, it's funny you even use the word like not able to think for ourselves. It was also how we felt about situations. We weren't able to feel what we felt.
That's right.
Because even having a feeling like, no, that's wrong. Like being almost gaslit. Like you can't feel that way, or you can't have that feeling towards somebody, or you can't do that. So we're almost not even that freedom of allowing our own minds and our own emotions to be free of whatever we wanted to do. Like exploring. I don't know. You have children and you let them explore whatever their hobbies or interests are. We didn't quite mm-hmm. have that exploration.
No. How many chapters of the Book of Mormon did we read?
I didn't read it. But that's kind of where... Kind of where we're going to take this, just different, I mean, just random things. Everything, I think we definitely want to stay on the positive side of all things. And this is just our perspective.
Well, and even the negative, per se, you know, negative is just a way to tell a story. The negative works towards a positive.
Yeah. Well, I say take the work out of it. Let's just stay positive.
Perfect.
Ah, no, it's definitely good. Well, it'll be real. That's the thing. So I wouldn't say negative, it's just be real. Keep everything on the positive. But I think from where we were a year ago, I think we've done pretty good, like, starting now. It was really hard to stay on the positive a year ago. It was like, all over the place.
Dude, I was talking to this dude, and he's telling me about this nightmare. You ever had a nightmare? I mean, a dream. In the dream, you're in this extreme state. When you wake up, often, if you wake up out of the nightmare, then you kind of carry on the emotions for a few minutes after the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, nightmares, like, things are extreme. They're always extreme. And this person in this dream had created these... In his dream, there were tornadoes that were kind of dropping out of the sky. And so he was terrified, and they were kind of rolling all around the valley, and he's freaking out. And he tells me that he says, I'm in this moment where this tornado comes up so close to me, and it's getting right up to my house, and I'm starting to scream and yell, and I'm thinking of, like, what can I do? And so I call out to God. I'm like, God, help me, please, God. And all of a sudden he feels this arm, and he looks down, and he sees his fingers grabbing his arm. And then by now the tornado's like on top of him, and he's literally in the tornado. He says, these fingers, they grabbed me and they pulled me right through this tornado on the other side. And I felt this incredible feeling of peace. But when I look down and I look at the fingers and I look at the rest of the arm and I follow the arm back, it was my other arm. I had grabbed myself and pulled me out.
Wow. Dude, I love that.
So that's what, that's kind of like what this is all about.
It really is taking responsibility. And we're all in this together too. So it's going to be a fun thing. We definitely want everybody's feedback. Let us know how we're doing. It's taken us a while to get to the where we actually can have fun with this.
I like fun. We like fun.
I like fun. Today we have a whole new perspective. Life is good. We got like cool things happening. We definitely want to. I think for me, Kelly, like my whole why is just thinking back. Like as we all grew up, you know, we have a ton of friends that grew up in polygamy, and we all kind of have the exact same, somewhat story. You know, even my story is always just kind of well rehearsed story where it's not, but we all have kind of the same upbringing, same story. So no one really gets plig kids other than other plig kids.
Seems to be the factor.
You know, just the understanding, like the whole, just how, I guess, what it's like. But also, like, how do you break free from a lot of the patterns that we have when we're all kind of in the exact same boat, but can't break free from it because we're relying on each other to help each other.
Nobody else knows how to help us out of it. And so when we go to interact, we're reminiscing, but we're not really solving any of it.
Right.
And it's just become a repetitive story. And we'll
joke and laugh and kind of
avoid
a lot of it. So it's kind of like just what we've experienced, how much freedom it's kind of given us to kind of go get over a lot of it. And a lot of it's just learning how to regulate, like what we were just never taught as kids, regulating ourselves.
Yeah. Regulating the emotions.
Yeah. Being happy with ourselves, being able to experience different things where we just didn't have that training growing up.
It's like your mentality goes through a cycle of emotions, maybe more or less a little bit, sometimes through a few hours or through a few days, you know, kind of cycle through all of them and evaluate as you go through. And the problem is when you get stuck in any of the categories, and sometimes the stuck can last for years and decades or lifetimes. But sometimes like you go into a happy state. And in our own polygamous mentality, it's like you go into the happy state,
mm-hmm.
and you instantly have a feeling of guilt for feeling happy.
Yeah, yep.
And so the ability to go into each of these emotional states and get the best out of them.
And not have it be conflicting with another one.
That's right.
That's the sad part, is that the confliction of like, oh my God, I feel so good. Oh shit, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like it's conflicting where you can just be. And know that you're never stuck. You always have options. You always have a way of moving forward. You're never going to be in this. Like you don't have to go there anymore. You're done.
No,
lesson learned. That's exactly lesson learned. Moving forward, and so hopefully someone can gain some insight. I'm just thinking back then, if someone would have done like taught me some different things, like, hey, this is probably something that affects you as a plague kid. Maybe you can look into that. That would have helped me a lot in my 20s and 30s. Just like, well, maybe I should look into some sort of thing. You know, like, am I playing the victim in all this stuff? Yeah, I was.
Definitely. And we're all playing the role.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I just noticed how much more rewarding my life is now that I've taken on responsibilities in my life. And got rid of that. And you know, I even catch myself. I mean, we're nobody's perfect, where I catch myself like, oh my God, I'm playing the victim here. I'll get in an argument or disagreement with somebody.
Part of this is being capable of handling it once it shows up. Because when it shows up in our heads and our minds and we're thinking about stuff, now we know that we're capable of processing it.
Yep. And so that's what we want to kind of
When you're not capable, you just want to shove it down and like, what are you going to even do with it?
Exactly.
It's being capable. Part of being responsible is learning how to be capable.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to, so, and that, anybody else, you're like, we'll have these other people come in and kind of tell us how they do the exact same thing. Cause there's a lot of us that have actually overcome this. And I want to figure out how everybody does it. Cause everybody processes things different and everybody's perception is different. Like you're going to get our perception of how we grew up. We have 68 brothers and sisters who have a completely different perception of how we were brought up. So conflicting right there. So we'll want to share all that, get a bunch of cool things going on and just make this a fun, entertaining, educational whirlwind of fun.
There you go. Like so, kid mentality.
So let's rock it. So let's get out of here, man. It's like lunchtime. I'm hungry.
Cool. And for all of you out there that are being zombies.
Sweet. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is our number one. So we got number two coming up pretty soon. And once we figure out how you subscribe and do all the fun stuff, we'll let you know.
So subscribe.
Yeah. Help us help you. All right. 10-4.
Over now.
That concludes this episode. Thank you, everyone. We hope you all tapped into something new. And as always, we love hearing from you. So leave a comment, subscribe, and tell a friend.